How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Had a good, kind of took the Labor Day weekend off, but yeah, it was good. Went up to the Evergreen Lake and hung out, and that's always pretty. Traffic
wasn't
bad.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
It is beautiful, yeah. I just love it there, and it's not much traffic, even on Labor Day, and it was
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, you know, we went on Friday.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, it was a good call. And got a restaurant table, no reservation, on and on it went, you know.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah, synchronicity,
cool,
for sure.
Cool, cool. Yep.
Yeah. So,
good.
On the phones today.
Yes.
Yep. During the weekend, I had my bird dogs out sending me property leads, so that was cool.
Yep.
I've been following up today on the phone.
How many leads came in over the weekend?
About 5.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted more.
Yeah, how many hours did they work, and how many bird dogs?
I have a lot of bird dogs. I'm making them. I'm doing something new here. I'm making them work on commission. Just trying it, and they have to do all the research like a VA.
Okay, and then what's the commission?
So, $1,000.
And then at a closing?
Yes, at a closing. If their house, if they do all the research and they get the house and the pictures and the property owner and everything they can, and I sent a guy out, he's really good. He's an asset guy. He's going out to take some pictures tomorrow.
Okay.
And so I'm getting some good stuff, putting in a couple of verbal offers, haven't heard back yet, so.
Okay.
That's
Here's what I'm thinking. As long as you can get more than five leads in a weekend, because you really, you know, if somebody can be
That's
efficient about it, absolutely not. If they can't, then you've got to go to, hey, just go drive for dollars, bring them in, and then, you know, get them in the assembly line, obviously. So, but if you have somebody that's valuable that can do more, I'm not opposed to it, but let's keep an eye on it. If it doesn't seem to be working here in the near future, then, you know, that's just business, is adjust and improve, change, adjust, and move forward. So,
exactly. I thought I'd give it a good good 2 weeks. This is my second week, just to see what kind of, you know, it's kind of like a bait thing and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll be curious, because a salesperson to not get paid until a closing, that's a fairly easy conversation, because that's how sales work. So, how this works in a bird dog scenario.
Yeah, and some of the people are really savvy already. They know, they sent me the ARV and everything, said it looked good from this point. And, of course, I'm doing all my own due diligence. And but, yeah, I thought it was something kind of refreshing, but still on the same track to get those leads coming in. And
I want to make sure your process is – I want to make sure your process is – due diligence post offer and contract. So you want to run some quick numbers, get a ballpark idea, but get the offer made, get the property under contract, and then that's what your inspection period is for. You know, figure out.
You know what?
Go ahead. Really dive into the numbers, get feedback from your buyers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what? I've been doing it as quick as I could just to have some kind of figure in my head. I can't fake it. I'm trying to do it so that when I get on a call, I could make the offer. That's where I'm headed.
And that's fine. Just put in as little as possible up front so that you don't put in a bunch of time on deals that aren't going anywhere. That's what we want to make sure. Okay.
Okay, that's perfect. And I think when I get home after this call, I will go ahead and text an offer to this guy.
Perfect. Yeah, it really is. That we, you know, to beat a dead horse, we're going to keep beating it, but the number one KPI that stands alone is number of offers made.
Yeah, number of offers. One thing I was going to ask is, people, do you think it's harmful if we don't go see the property first?
So no, there's no need to. No.
I'll see it after. Let's get the contract Here's
the thing. Your opinion doesn't matter. So not unless you're buying it yourself, but if you're not buying it, your opinion is irrelevant on what the deal is. If I'm your buyer and I'll say I take it, you don't need to see it. If I'm your buyer and I give you some feedback and say, you know, not really in my wheelhouse, that's fine. Check with other buyers. Uh-huh. But it's the end buyer's opinion that matters, not yours.
Right.
So we want to be in the ballpark, right? We want to generate leads where deals are being done. We want to run.
Right.
We want to run numbers, you know, right, get a ballpark general sense. We get that offer out there. But at the end of the day, there's no need for you to see it. Now, if you've got, you know, if when you get a deal under contract and if you want some pictures, you're going to send out a bird dog, say, hey, go take 10 photos for me.
Uh-huh.
So that you can include that in your marketing of the contract, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's fine. Right. But at the end of the day, you don't need to see it because it doesn't really matter what your opinion is. If somebody else says they'll take it, that's right.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I'd love to write a contract up tonight. That would just please me to no end.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you need to always want to listen in, but if you need to jump off and try and tie one up, then certainly do so. That's why this is recorded. You can always come back at a later date. So.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I might just do that. I'm motivated. Hi.
Yeah. Go for it, Olivia.
Huh?
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
If something happens in the next 60 to 90 minutes, chime back in and tell us.
Okay, I will. I will. I'll go for it. I'll go back. I usually walk my dogs during the call. Okay.
Nice.
All right. I'll check back in, and if I can surprise you, I will.
We're looking forward to it.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye. Who else is on?
I'm here. Tom.
Hussein is here.
Hey, Hussein.
Larry's here.
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Who has a question or update for us?
Well,
okay.
I know
we had a bunch more dings, too.
I got a quick update because I don't have a lot going on. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We found the guy. The guy came out of the ether, and I'm going to be getting photos of my house and triplex. So we'll see what happens with that.
You can finally get in?
Yeah. So that's
cool.
One good thing. That's about it. Still
locked. Where are you at on a salesperson?
Locked out of Indeed. Nothing is happening. I got zero response.
Did you post on
Craigslist? I got one guy who sounded like a crack addict. He instantly called me, and I said, "No, that's not what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to do X, Y, and Z," and that was about as far as we went. But I knew it wouldn't. I got nothing else from Craigslist. Nothing. I got.
Where did you post in sales?
Indeed.
Hey, and I read through that post, too. Cut it down to about 8 to 10 sentences.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna do more like what Hal did. It's going to be
really short, be really to the point, and generate the response, and then get somebody on the phone.
Right.
So just throw the carrot out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to do
almost
verbatim what he did. I'll post it again.
Yeah, post it again. Yep.
Indeed, I got locked out of. They disabled my account because they're not sure I'm legitimate business or not. I have an EIN, which I sent them, but they're sitting around with their fingers in their butts or something because I've called them three times.
If they're going to be slow, then Craigslist works. You could probably put a post of some kind into social media. I don't know if you want to go inside your network. You know, this is business related. Sometimes it's easier to keep separate, but somebody you know may know somebody, that kind of thing. So, yeah, if Indeed's not going to work, then you just got to go other. I mean, there are 100 other job posting sites out there. We just happen to talk about Indeed and Craigslist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, get it posted.
I was exploring some of the other ones. I'm going to do that.
Find them and
post. Some
of
them are pretty
expensive.
Yeah, some of them are pretty expensive to post a job. It's crazy.
Put it in, I think Mike, too, last week said he posted in gigs and in sales. Gigs is free, sales is paid. Change up your post a little bit. Throw it in both places. You can put it in real estate, too. But you, you know, you, ten, well, not, I shouldn't say always. you may get some licensed agents to respond, which may or may not be helpful. What you really want is a salesperson.
Right.
You know, it's fairly irrelevant if they have a real estate license or not. So, yeah, Tom, you gotta get it out there.
Yeah, I know.
We've been talking about it for a while. So if Indeed, just because Indeed shuts you down, that's just post elsewhere. That's it.
Yeah,
you need somebody on the phone. So
that's for damn sure. I got 500
ASAP.
500 leads at least, and I got my.
That's
my,
it. The gold is sitting
dog.
There. You gotta have somebody pick up a shovel.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my bird dog to get more in some of the hotter zip codes. So
yeah, you're ready for a salesperson.
I'm ready for something, dude.
So post. Repost, change it tonight, post it right now, put us
post
on mute,
right now.
Listen in, post it right now, get it in there. You can post in Denver, you can post in Boulder, put it in both because they're separate Craigslists.
Okay.
Just change up the wording a little bit, post in both.
Okay.
Because you could equally, you know, easily work with somebody in either place. You could probably go Greeley, you could maybe go Fort Collins, but I think Denver and Boulder would be fine.
Yeah, any
and then
could work.
Change it up a little bit and throw it in gigs as well, just in case.
Gig? Oh, yeah, okay, right. All right. Other than that, I've been, I'm going to send some postcards to these people because I'm getting nowhere with the phone calls on for buyers.
Right.
However, I have some interest in both properties from some guys here in Denver, and my bird dog I talked to, he's been away. We haven't been able to get into those places, and that's what he needs him to do. He's going to put some bandit signs out, but he's also he's ready to do some other stuff. And while he was talking, he said he met some guy who does rehab. I said, dude, you find me a buyer, and I'll give you $500 at closing if I sell anything to him. He says, no, just keep me busy. I said, no, I'll keep you busy and give you $500.
He said no. Love it.
No, just keep me busy. It's like, okay, I'll keep you busy and I'll give you $500.
Right.
I mean, it's worth money to me. So he goes, let me talk to him. It's like, yeah, you do that. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's where I'm at.
Send somebody like that to a local real estate group and have them connect or plug in or become part of the team and whatever. I mean, that's why we hire bird dogs, right? It's really linear up front, but they turn into they turn into property runners, sometimes salespeople, sometimes marketing people.
He's a property runner. He's a property manager. And so he sees the other end of it. So actually having him go to one of the real estate things is a great idea because it's in his interest. He's a property manager too.
Right.
That's a great idea. Okay. I'll
all systems go, but that's one of the big advantages to bird dogs. I mean, it's for leads up front, but you just meet people in the area by doing it. So.
Right. Good idea. Thanks. Okay.
All right, get that ad posted. You need a salesperson 2 weeks ago, maybe four.
Yeah. All right. At least, yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Well, I know Larry and Hussein are on, but you guys can jump in. I know we have some other clicks, too. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Larry. I did the list source for absentee owners out in that rural area that I have that property under contract.
Yeah, what'd you find?
There's only five people in the last year that are absentee owners. So
I tell you what, that's where you start.
Yeah.
You were talking about an agent, but that's where you start. And you knew, I mean, you kind of knew that going in, right? We're out in the middle of nowhere. That's what's going to happen. You know, I mean, you pull that in a big city and there'll be thousands in the last 12 months. So, yeah.
Now the list, do I got to add it? Because they won't sell anything under $50, the list source. Is there a way around that or you just got to?
I haven't come across that one.
Yeah, because it was like it came up to like 97 cents to buy the list, and it says I need a $50 minimum order.
Yeah, I tell you what, you want to add a couple things to it, and it's a little hard to explain. Well, maybe not. So when you go to the when you hit purchase list,
uh-huh.
and it shows you the amount, to the yeah. left of the amount, there's a big scroll window with a bunch of options in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Is that ringing a bell?
Yeah.
So we're not going to get you to $50, but you want to add in bedrooms, bathrooms, structure, square foot, because that'll tell you how big the house was. Last sale date, last sale price. We typically add in first mortgage amount and then junior one mortgage amount. Those are first uh-huh. and second liens. So you know that if they paid cash for it or financed it, and if they financed it, how much did they finance? So you add that stuff to it and then buy the list. And then that
okay.
way, when you go to that list, you know the address, who bought it, individual or business. You know how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, square footage of the property, the date they bought it, the price they paid for it. And now, right, this is the list that Rob uses, and he buys it for the city. Now, when you're buying it for the whole city where you're working, you have to kind of play with the dates a little bit, because you can easily spend, you know, $1,000+ on this list. But then he takes that list and he maps it. So he uses mappoint.com, which is in the training. Tom, who I was just talking to, turned us on to easymapmaker.com, and that one's free. So jot that down, easymapmaker.com.
Okay.
And once you have that list out of list source, you just copy it and paste it into Easy Map Maker. Now imagine this. I mean, you did this for a rural zip code. You do this for an entire city or a county. And, you know, the more records you pay for, obviously, the better. But do whatever you can afford at the time, right, with some marketing budget dollars. And then it tells you that list now, once it's mapped, tells you exactly where to send your bird dogs, because you see where the investor activity is. When you start talking to sellers, it tells you, it gives you an insight into offer price, because you can just go into the area where the property is. And once it's mapped, you just click on, like in using easymapmaker.com, you click on the pin and it'll pull up all the data you uploaded. So it'll say address, last sale date, last sale price, square footage, bedrooms, bathrooms, all that stuff. You have all that data right there. So it tells you what investors have paid in this neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Then we give it to on the disposition side of the business, where we're trying to sell contracts to end buyers. It gives us the list to reach out to try and skip trace and find their numbers, because we know they've already bought in the area. So it's a list that Rob buys when he launches a market, and he just uses it constantly, because that's just incredible data to know, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that you did it on a small scale. That's how you do it on a bigger scale, and you can map out the entire city.
Okay. And then you're looking for people in your area, I guess, you know, within a certain couple mile radius or something of the.
Yeah, that's where you start. I mean, when you have a live contract for sale, you want to talk to every buyer you can find, but it makes sense
yeah.
to start with the buyers who have bought in that same zip code, in the vicinity, you know, within a, you know, like a 1 to 5 mile radius. Because
yeah.
you get a hold of them and say, you know, hey, you bought XYZ. I found you in the public records. I've got a contract for sale over here. So, hey, side note, Rob just bumped into an article over the weekend. Texas law just went into effect September 1st. On wholesaling, assignments, that kind of thing. So this is a reoccurring topic in the coaching center. We're obviously not attorneys. But here's the thing is, all of you, we're going to be operating in a changing landscape to some extent. Ohio was one of the first states to do it. It's not that you can't wholesale or assign. It's that you have to disclose. We talk about it all the time. It's built into the coaching center. It's in the video. Disclose your intent and be 100% accurate. Be truthful all the time. Don't misrepresent what you're about to do. And as long as you disclose and operate properly, then there typically isn't an issue, okay? But as of the September 1st, new legislation went into effect in the state of Texas that just says you have to disclose your intent, right? If you have a contract on a property, you can't market that you have a property for sale. You don't own it. You have an interest in a property for sale. All right. So we're going to, right. It's just going to be a theme. Play by the rules, understand the rules. Here's what I'll tell you. When Rob goes into a new market, one of the first things he does is find a good real estate attorney in the market, pay him for an hour or two on the phone, right? You want to understand how to operate. Tell him, this is what I do. This is how I'm accustomed to doing it. You know, do you see any issues with that? And just make sure you understand the, you know, the laws of the land. So, like I said, Ohio was one of the first states to adopt it. I think there's one or two others. Texas just jumped on board. Our assumption is all 50 states are going to adopt something similar over time. But, you know, represent what you do up front. If your intent is to assign the contract, don't refer to yourself as a buyer. Clearly explain. It's on the contract that you can download in the coaching center in bold font. I can't remember which section. It says buyer/assignor's sole intent is to assign this contract. I mean, it's got to be in your conversation, in the paperwork, over-communicate it, be crystal clear as, right, as you can. Because what's going to happen is the, you know, there are investigators out there. You know, we've read a couple stories. They're trying to make examples out of investors. The real estate commission has a big lobby. You know, a lot of the brokers in the country think that we are basically brokering deals without a license. And they say, you know, why do they have to have a license? Why don't investors have to? So that's some of the conversation that's going on. So as of this point in time, you know, wholesaling, assigning contracts, double closing, all that stuff, it's still all above board. Just know how to do it. Know what you can say, what you can't say. I was going to ask Rob about it because he had me read that article earlier and see if he just wants me to send it out to everybody so you can read it. But an attorney wrote it out of Texas. They give some examples, you know, per the new guidelines. This would be an okay statement to make from a marketing standpoint. This would not. But really, you know, just be aware of the landscape and know that it's going to change and know that this is to our advantage. So the investors who don't want to play by the rules, some of them are going to get made examples of through lawsuit. Some of them, they're just going to hear about lawsuits and it's going to scare them and they're going to say, that's too risky. I'm going to do something else. And they're going to get out of the business. You know, like I said, at this point in time, we can still do everything we've always done. Just make sure you're representing yourselves correctly. And again, Rob always goes to an attorney. And, you know, I mean, is a couple $100 or whatever the price is for an hour or two worth playing above board and keeping you out of, you know, some potential major issues down the road? And the obvious answer is right? So it's not to scare anybody, to point you in a different direction. It's just say, you know, what we teach is, hey, live where you want, buy and sell real estate where it makes sense. You're going to move, and as your business grows, you're going to move into multiple markets. Some nuances in the different places based on how things work there. So just understand it, you know it, play by the rules, and it's going to weed out some other investors. So we see it as a real advantage, actually, not as a disadvantage. So anyway, I'll look at getting that article out so everybody can read it. Obviously, if you're not in Texas, it doesn't directly affect you, but I would say that it probably does because, you know, this is coming soon to a theater near you. That's what we anticipate anyway. So side note, kind of a long one, Larry, go ahead. Anything else?
No, that's it right now. Like I said, we got it under contract and then just looking for the buyer now. I got a few leads, but, I mean, cause the price is right for what I'm getting for and what I'm selling it for. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to the people right there. If you want to pull surrounding counties, zip codes, that kind of thing, you know, to get your list source list a little bit bigger, because you can add zip codes when you're on the first step on geography.
Yeah.
Pull some of those rural zip codes and see if you can pull a bigger list. And then if we need to do a screen share real quick on how to walk through that and the items we add, I'm happy to do it. You just have to email me into the coaching center and then we can find a time. But yeah, that's it's a little bit off the beaten path, but you know, let's see if we can turn it. Absolutely.
And then, like, even though I got it under, it's in escrow, I got it under contract and everything, Like, say I'm trying to, you know, already find a buyer. What stops somebody from going directly to the homeowner even before he's moved out? Say, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars. you know what I mean?
Nothing.
To try to cut
nothing.
Me out, but yet.
yeah, nothing can stop them. You are under contract.
Yeah.
With them. So, you know, there can be some, yeah, not nothing. Quite honestly,
besides being a lawsuit, which I really don't want to be involved in any kind of going after.
People can do what they do. Our experience has been it's been really, really, really rare to non-existent. But at the end of the day, it is possible, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, you're going to want to get it out to buyers. So, and, you know, that's the thing, too. I went back to disclosure. So you had this under contract prior to working with us. So who did you say you are to the seller at this point in time? Did you say that your intent is to buy or your intent is to assign?
I tell them, I advertise in the newspaper that I'm a cash buyer.
Okay.
But with them, every contract I sign, like, you know, a real estate purchase contract, I put my company name and or assignee. I guess
Here's
I don't verbally say, hey, I'm going to do this, but it's on the contract. And
I was just
going to
tell you. Somebody, you understand the contract you use, and a seller may not. So our stance is always going to be verbal, plus put it on the paperwork. You know, if you have to remind them about the process, that your intent to assign it, you're plugged into buyers in the area, I want to help you get this property off your plate, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Be really clear on it. And then the other two words that come into play are intent and capacity. So what is your intent and what did you say your intent was? And then do you have the capacity to back that up? So
I'm going to buy it outright anyways.
That's the capacity piece.
Yeah.
That's the capacity piece. Yep. So you either have the cash, you have a proof of funds letter with a hard money company, you have proof of fund, you know, like a proof of funds from private money, right? Mm-hmm. Just be aware of some of these words. Again, we're not attorneys around here, but, you know, there have been some lawsuits, more are coming towards investors. And so, you know, just understand what's going on, keep it above board, and it'll thin some people out over time, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, just be prepared at this point in time, because you're in it now. You know, be prepared to do what you said you were going to do, right? The other thing, too, that's kind of interesting is when you go to advertise this for sale, you don't have a property for sale. You have the interest in a property for sale, right?
Well, yeah, right now I have the interest. Yeah, right now until escrow closes, then I have, you know, property for sale. So, yeah, it's like a flat line.
Yeah, if you're that's the thing. If you use your own money or private money or whatever to buy a house and then remarket it and sell it, now you have a property for sale. Knock yourself out. You own it.
Yeah.
Just make sure that your messaging, verbal, written, marketing, whatever, is clear with what you actually have.
Okay.
So, yep. Yeah, let's expand that list a little bit, because you may get, you know, somebody that's a county over or whatever that just says, hey, this is in my backyard. Let me buy a little rental. I can keep an eye on it, that kind of thing. So I would say in a rural community, you could probably expand further than in the city and potentially find a buyer. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, this area is an hour away from civilization.
Is it?
I mean, it's in a small town, but there's not a lot of people there. But a lot of these
people. I don't know if there's oil in the ground out there, but you may want to have it tested during your inspection period. Just buy that sucker yourself. I know rural Colorado. I don't know if there is, but you know, I just bring it into play. That'd be an interesting one.
Yeah,
we have you know, people out here are buying up. You know, they don't care about the house; they just want the dirt. Have the oil companies come in and thump it for that black gold. So anyway, side note, not likely, but possible.
Yeah.
So who knows? Yeah, good stuff. And then also, too, I know you have one on the table. Keep, keep working through the steps 1, 2, and 3, get the leads generating. Cause you know, ideally based on where you want the business to go, you've got to have, you know, somewhere between 5 and you know, we're working with some students that want, you know, they're trying to ramp their business up 3, 4, 5 levels. So where they want 10, you know, 10 to 20 contracts working at any given time. So, you know, the key is to be in the middle of multiple. It's a game changer.
Okay. Now,
so,
like, Lift Source doesn't, they don't, like, go to Kansas? They don't take care of the Kansas?
What do you mean they don't go to Kansas?
Like, there's no Kansas on Lift Source.
Yeah, Kansas is one of the non-disclosure states, I believe. Those can be kind of tough. Texas is another one, although you'll find some data down there. There are only a handful of them, so you may have to get creative.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, is there an alternative?
You know, yeah, go to see if you can get a hold of a property manager in the area. They're all licensed. You can make an introduction. Say, hey, a lot of the deals I'm going to be selling are turnkey. I want to bring them your way. You know, if you have landlords that are looking to buy, right, what's in it? Everybody wants to know what's in it for me. Right. So before any conversation, you got to be thinking what's in it for the person on the other end. They may be able to, I'm not familiar with all the MLS systems, but oftentimes they can pull, I've heard it's pretty easy to pull cash transactions out of the MLS, like over the last 6 to 12 months.
Uh-huh.
You could also see, you know, through conversation, if they can pull absentee owners. So anytime, obviously the mailing address is different from the property address through the MLS system. So that would be the same data. And agents in Kansas will have access to some degree. Again, I'm not an MLS expert. You know, I've never been an agent, but that's another option. See if somebody can pull that list for you.
Okay.
Out of the MLS system. And you can, again, that'll be a CSV file, and you can map it. Go right to easymapmaker.com, and you can upload the data. So if that doesn't work, you go grassroots and you talk to every single buyer you can possibly find. We talk about how to find buyers in multiple ways in step 4. And, you start asking them, where do you buy, you know, what zip codes, with the intent that, again, we're not shopping for anybody because that's what real estate agents do.
Yeah.
But with the intent that, you know, hey, when I have deals, I'll send them your way. So,
okay.
Yep. Yeah, try that. See if FreedomSoft pulls stuff in the cash buyer tool as well. And you can, after you run a search, you can hit the map button in the upper right corner, and it'll map out the properties as you click through the different buyers, and that'll give you a clue as to where the transactions are going down as well.
On FreedomSoft?
Yep.
Okay.
But, yeah, Kansas is a tough one, which, you know, there's a lot of deals going down in Kansas. So it's not that it's a bad place to work, and actually, you know, the lack of some of the data probably steers people away. But there's, you know, there's some decent activity in parts of Kansas. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll check out FreedomSoft and everything.
Yeah, let me know what you find, because we'll keep throwing ideas on the table if we can't.
Okay.
You know, if you can't go to public records. So.
Hello, Mike. What's
going on? Yeah, Hussein, what's going on?
It, Mike, I have the list of vacant homes with owner address, like separate than the mail property address.
Uh-huh.
What should I do? How should I start using the FreedomSoft to start marketing?
So if you just have a list of vacants, you have to skip trace to find the owner. You want phone numbers.
Right. Phone numbers? Not that.
Yeah, what step are you in?
I have the list, and I have the owner address.
Right. You want phone number, though. That's where the skip tracer comes in. So you'll get a skip tracer. Yep, absolutely. They're going to skip trace off the owner's name and the mailing address. So this is a really important distinction. When you hire a skip tracer and tell them what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a vacant property, 9.9 times out of 10, the house is vacant, so nobody's living
right.
there. So
right.
if your bird dogs are doing a good job, then 10 out of 10 are vacant, right? So when the skip tracer goes to find phone numbers, they want to skip trace off the name and the mailing address, not the property address, because you've got to go
right.
to where the person lives.
Right. I have
sounds,
the mailing
that,
address. I have the mailing
okay.
address and the name of the property.
Correct.
I don't have the phone
so,
number.
Right. You got to skip trace to find it.
Okay. Sorry.
And you'll have a VA that does that. Yep.
Okay.
So are you through step one? Because I haven't got an email that you're through it.
I didn't go through the step one. My system actually crashed last Thursday, so I was without machine.
Okay.
So
okay, so get me
I'm
your
behind,
your
but I'll catch up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be watching for that email with your market ranking spreadsheet and the data that you
sure.
found. So good stuff.
I'll do that. Thanks.
Yep. And then we're going to have you focus in step three. You're going to be hiring bird dogs to generate vacants. I want your focus to be there. And then you can use the vacant house data feed in FreedomSoft as a secondary tool. But nothing is going to beat physical eyes on a property. They're still going to – somebody physically driving around is going to find a notch or two better leads than that vacant house feed in FreedomSoft. That comes from the United States Postal Service. And some of those houses just, right, are going to be occupied because the Postal Service just has it wrong. Some of them recently sold, so they recently changed hands. So most likely an investor bought it, but those are still going to show up as vacant. And so it's a great data feed. Don't hear me wrong, but we want that to be secondary to having bird dogs drive your market because that's still the best way to find vacant leads.
Okay.
Okay. Good stuff. I'll watch for that email from you.
Sure. Thank you.
Yep. Who else?
Mike, it's Tommy.
What? Hey, Tommy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So
you two are flying. I love it.
I'm on a mission.
I love it. I
just got stalled for too long. So, okay, so I guess my questions are,
yep.
I know we talked a little bit in email about the sales person. Is there a video for me to watch, or is that in the next step that I just haven't got to yet?
Yeah, there isn't. So I want to lay this out for you. You can go back to some previous office hours, and this is a frequent conversation, and it's going to continue to
okay.
be because this is
okay.
this is the conversation we want to have. Nobody joined this program to create a job, not a single one.
Right.
It's
right.
all about a business, and a business is going to require other people outside of you, right? And so
right.
here's what Rob has in place. So I want to lay this out. He and Brad run their real estate division, and honestly, Brad runs the day-to-day. Rob is there for a lot of input, right? But Brad runs the day-to-day. They're primarily buying in Memphis. They're working a turnkey operation where they buy the deal with private money, they fix it up, and then they sell it rent-ready to a landlord that just wants a turnkey rental, okay? Because Memphis is known for it. Not every market is. They're a handful. Memphis isn't the only one, but that's their primary focus. They run.
Mm-hmm.
They generate leads the exact same way that we teach. They have bird dogs generating leads. So here's what their team looks like.
Okay.
Chris is the sales manager. And when it started out, they've only been in Memphis for 3-4 months. When it
mm-hmm.
started out, Chris was the one and only salesperson, okay? His job
okay.
was to take the leads that have already been skip traced, call through the numbers, find the owner, find the motivation, make the offer, get the contract, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The second person they brought on board, his name is escaping me, he runs dispositions. So Chris is running sales, talking to sellers to get the contract.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is running dispositions where he takes the contract to the buyers, to the turnkey buyers, and he's looking
okay.
to sell the contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
The third piece of the puzzle is they hired a college kid at first as an intern, and he's the leads manager. So his job, they taught him the process. His job is to hire, train, and manage bird dogs, hire, train, and manage skip tracing VAs, and make sure that they have enough leads to feed the sales engine. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after about 6 to 8 weeks, I can't remember when it was, Chris, he was the one salesperson. He knew, you know, he's a sales guy. He knew some other salespeople. He brought in a couple more setters. And so now the way it's laid out is Chris has three people that are calling the leads. They're calling through the Skip Trace phone numbers to find the owner. When they find the owner, they're going through the script, having a conversation, discovering if there is motivation, what level that motivation is. And then they are setting up an appointment for Mr. Chris to jump on the phone. They give him a little bit of detail about the property, and Chris comes in to close it and get the contract. But that's looking into the future.
Right.
So right up front, it's salesperson. And like my email said, you can almost go simultaneously into dispositions because you want somebody moving the contract so it's not you, right?
Right.
From there, once those two pieces are in place, you're going to want somebody probably on a part-time basis to become leads manager so that they're feeding that system, right? And that's off your plate.
Okay.
Really, you get those three pieces in place, you can run multiple markets, and you can turn some serious volume with those three pieces.
Three. Okay. So are these three,
yeah, go ahead.
Are these three local? Sorry.
No worries.
They
don't have to be, but we encourage local because then you can work and train with all of them, right? So if you need to make calls with your salesperson, you can, you know, find a place or, you know, meet at a coffee shop, whatever, and do some training. Now, what Rob and Brad did with Chris is they knew about him. He was a warm market lead. I think Brad knew him. He flew out to Denver on his dime, rented a hotel on his dime, came into the office and started calling leads and, you know, got some training on what they were doing for 2 weeks and then went back to Arizona where he lives with his family. So he is remote, but there was a 2-week pretty intense training period where they worked with him. All right. So it's not terribly complicated. The other piece of the puzzle is compensation. So both sales and dispositions are paid on a commission base. So they're not out of pocket for these people to get started. And the way it works is it's a 10 to 20% sliding scale. So if that salesperson generates over $17,000 in wholesale fees within the week, they're paid 20% of that deal when it closes because it was tied to that week. If they generate less than $17,000, they're paid 10% on those deals, and the clock or it resets. I think it's every Sunday morning at midnight, so Saturday night, Sunday morning, and it starts over. And that's you know, when you hire a sales mentality, you've got to keep that constant goal to produce, you know, that carrot out in front. So that's how Rob does it. That's not to say that arrangement couldn't be different, but that's how Rob has it set up. And dispositions is paid the same way. So the sales team is getting the contracts. The dispositions team is moving the contracts to the end buyer. And they work the same way. So if everybody is killing it, there's 40% paid at closing, 60% back to Rob and Brad's company is how they have it set up.
40% paid. Okay, 40% paid out.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question on that.
Yeah.
So if they produce $17,000 in sales, you mean $17,000, what does that represent?
Wholesale fees. So contract at 20, sell it for 25, marketing it for 25. That's 5,000 towards the 17.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
I just need to go back through office hours and look for the video to, like, for an ad to put out to hire for this.
Yeah, Hal, and I don't have the exact date. Hal was talking about one that worked pretty good. Honestly, it was like four sentences.
I got it right
sales
here.
Sales manager. Oh, good. Yeah,
awesome.
Sounds good.
I got it right here. Hang on. Here it is. Where'd it go?
Hey, Mike, is that 20% of whatever that is over 17,000, or is it retro back to the whole amount?
17 is the carrot number, right? Like, I generated 20 grand in wholesale fees this week, and then 30 days out or whatever it is, 123 Main Street closes, $6,000 wholesale fee. They track it back. The contract was put under this week, and so I get 20% of 6 grand.
I was just wondering if once they hit 17,000, like, then the number jumps up on anything over that, or if it goes back to everything. So if you do 20,000,
yeah,
you get 20% of the 3 and not the 17.
20% of the whole thing.
Whatever your number
20%
is.
20% of all of it.
Okay,
yeah.
The whole,
so if you generate
okay,
yeah, if you generate
okay.
35 grand in wholesale fees this week, and you know they all close whatever 4 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Every 20% of each one of those closings, each one of the checks. Yep.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was a tiered scale, like the first this much will be at 10, and then if you go over that, the next money will be at 20. And
gotcha.
That type of thing.
I would be honest, I would have to ask, but I think it's 20 on the whole thing to incent them to get there, because then that's, you know, obviously if you're at 15,000 and it's Friday, you know, Chris's team is hustling up another deal. So
yeah, that would make more sense to me.
Yeah, and then it goes, I mean, you know, and then it goes into motivating a sales team. So dinners and perks and bumps and, you know, basically, we've talked about this a lot on office hours too, but take care of the rainmakers, right? So
mm-hmm.
you get a good salesperson or a couple good salespeople, I mean, they'll just blow up the board with deals. You know, that they're called the rainmakers for a reason, right? They're the ones on the front line. I mean, nobody gets paid unless a sale is made. So when you find people are good, you know, find out, you know, little perks and bumps and incentives. And Brad and Rob are always talking about, you know, dinner gift cards or weekends away, or, you know, just depends on what they're producing. But if you get somebody that's a rock star, you know, keep them on board. They'll make you a ton of money. There's no doubt about it. So, Tom, did you find that? We might have lost Tom. Tommy, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I have one more question before I'm done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I want to clarify something else too, so go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so I before I move on, because I'll forget, did he find that four-sentence thing for me or no? I can always look it up if I need to.
Yeah, I just asked him, and he may have dropped off. His phone does funky things at his house sometimes, so we'll see if he chimes back in.
Okay, no problem. Next question is, so I have five bird dogs hired right now, and
yep.
I hired them all of yesterday. So I didn't really expect much to come through today. I was hoping, but still nothing. So how long of a window do you give them? Like, I'm trying to stay in communication with them just to let them know that I'm really interested in this. Isn't just something to brush off. But, like, what's that window before you move on?
Yeah, not very long. The bottom line is your business needs leads, and so people are either going to do it or they won't. A couple things you can do. Get out, like, a text message that say because here's the way this works. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times people see this ad on Craigslist, and they're like, what the heck's a bird dog? Is this for real? So you're trying to get a sense for them, and they're doing the same thing to you. Is this person really going to pay me? How does this work? Right? We, as investors, we talk about bird dogs all the time, and everybody knows what it is. But for the rest of the world, we're speaking a foreign language. So put a little incentive out there that says, you know, we pay $3 a lead, but we'll do something like, hey, either call real quick and say, listen, you know, you may or may not have ever even heard of this. I want you to know that I'm legit. Can you get me 10 leads today? That would normally be, you know, $3 a lead. That would normally be $30. I'll give you a, whatever, a $15 to $20 incentive. give me your PayPal, okay, and I'll wire it over as soon as you shoot me 10 leads, because I want you to know that I'm serious, and
okay,
so I want to prove to you that this is legit, right? So that's some of it. So put typically, I mean, money talks, right? I mean, the reason
right,
they replied is because they want money. So tie a little bump to this first one, and then once they realize, holy cow, I went and drove, all I did was take a picture, and I emailed it in, and then now the money's in my PayPal account. That typically is all it takes for somebody to say this is legit, and they find the motivation.
Okay.
So get a little creative like that to get people moving.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, and then here, I have one add-on to that. So I have, as of right now, I have two skip tracers hired. Of course, I don't have any leads, but a reason I went ahead and hired them was because, I don't want my leads sitting there, but also I want to make sure that they're trained properly, which these two both have skip tracing accounts. But I'd asked them if they were familiar with FreedomSoft, because I know that system that you guys have set up in there. So I guess is their wording, because I know a lot of people, when I've hired off Upwork before, they're ready to go, and they want to do their work and get paid also. So I guess that's kind of where my fear is that they're going to drop off if my leads aren't coming in.
Yeah, so here's what you can do right now. Let me ask you this. What skip tracing tools do they both have access to? Do you remember?
One of them was a word that started with a B. I guess I could pull it up real quick. Ben
Verified?
Yes, I think that was one of them.
Okay.
Sorry, I really have to go back in. Skip Trace. Oh, wait, no, that's just she's telling me what it is. Sorry, I don't remember. I think one of them had LexisNexis, too.
That one will probably dominate.
Okay.
That is known as the kind of the cream of the crop skip tracing tool.
Okay.
So here's what you could do. And typically, folks that have access to Lexis will charge a little more. But I don't know if Ben's on tonight. We were talking to Ben, I think, a week and a half ago. He thinks he's getting 80% good numbers, which Rob uses Intellius and is between 60 and 65%. So –
okay.
Rob pays a skip tracer about $6 an hour. Ben was paying 75 cents per lead. So he's paying more, but he felt like he was getting 80% good numbers, and his person's using Lexis. So
okay, well, I kind of got
that,
lucky then, because if I'm right, I think she's at $3.
That you'll have to figure out. So here's what you do. Here's what you do. And if you need this in an email tomorrow, shoot me one so I can remind you. Go to the marketing tab in FreedomSoft, go to the vacant house feed, type in your city, and then click the show advanced button for the advanced search. Put a sale date. There's a little drop down. Put select between, and you're going to put in two dates. Put in 01/01/17. As the in the box on the right, and then the box on the left, put 01/01/2014.
Okay.
And then go down and click the out of state owner button and click search.
Okay.
And I don't know how many that'll turn up, but you can select all of them. So here's what we just ran a search for. Somebody bought the last sale date, so they bought a house between January 1st, 2014 and January 1st, 2017. It's August, it's September 5th, 2017, and the house is still reporting as vacant.
Okay.
So the best case scenario is they bought it 8-9 months ago and it's still vacant, which on a little rental, there's probably an issue. The worst case scenario is they bought it early 2014 and it's still vacant, or showing up as vacant, okay?
Okay.
And they live out of state. So what are we doing here? We're just trying to narrow down to, right, we're playing the percentages. How do we get on the phone with sellers that are likely motivated to sell? At the end of the day, and that's why we start with vacant houses, because they have the highest probability that the seller wants the property gone, because the house is sitting vacant. Vacant houses, vacant property costs money, right? Property taxes, maintenance, all that good stuff. So, yeah, so grab that list. You can, I don't know how many will show up, but you can select all the pages. You can export it and move it into a campaign.
Okay.
So the first step before you run the search is create a campaign called Vacant House Leads, whatever. And then what you'll have to do is divvy up the leads probably in those two campaigns, and then you can invite your Skip Tracing VAs into your FreedomSoft account, give one of them access to one campaign, the other access to the other, and they can go to work right now. Then, I know I'm giving you a lot here, so if you need clarification that's fine. When the bird dog leads start coming in, tell them that that's their priority. Get to those if all the bird dog leads are skip traced. Go back to the vacant list because they'll be better.
Awesome. I'll do that. Okay. Thank you. That helps.
Yep. Hey, one other thing I wanted to point out, when you post an ad for a salesperson and people start to reply, here's Rob's quick process. See who responds, right? Read through an application or their words, right? If they seem like they're worth talking to, go to a phone interview to have a conversation. If that goes well, he sends them a DISC test, D-I-S-C. Have you heard of it before?
I have.
Okay. He does the paid version. You can just Google DISC test. They're like $29. They'll send you a link.
Okay.
And then you can send that to the salesperson. You want high D's and high I's. Those are your sales personality types. Your S's and C's are not. Here's how cut and dry Rob is.
Okay.
If they're high D or high I, he'll have another conversation with them. If they're not, no point moving forward for a sales position.
Okay.
From there, he takes them to dinner. Rob and his wife take the applicant and spouse or significant other, if one is in place, and they go to dinner. Not super formal, but not IHOP. And they just get them outside of a business setting.
Okay.
Hey, I'm getting a ton of feedback on my phone. Is anybody else?
Yeah, I'm getting
the same. I don't know what just happened there. Hopefully it'll go away. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, there it goes.
You can just start calling me Geek Squad if you want for fixing that. Yeah, so that's the process. The DISC test is key. Find a salesperson to put them in a sales seat. If not, you'll frustrate both of you.
Okay, awesome. Will do.
So, yep.
Hey, I got the ad.
Sounds back.
Sorry.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have some crises in some of my rentals, two of them at the same time. But anyway, there it is. I changed it a little bit, but it says sales telemarketer. This job is calling real estate leads. Average sale is $5,000 to $7,000. Work from home. No real estate license needed. Must have telemarketing/sales background. 2.5 years plus. That's what I put in. Need computer, internet access, and phone. And then I put in determine motivation level and make appointments for owner for these motivated sellers. He said that he put the right person will make appointments for the owner for these for the owner. That's it. That's all he said. Income possible 2 to 10 thousand a month. Job type commission. And then I don't know what else he put, but I took from a different one to get this. Get the process started, please send us a message including the following: your resume in PDF format, a cover letter to tell us why you're the right person for the job, and 3, your earnings expectations and goals. If after we receive your application and the information requested above, we'll follow up with you for the next step in the process.
So Tom, if you posted that and didn't get much response, pull out all those stipulations at the end.
I didn't post this. But
Rob,
what I was going with
Rob does
was,
put,
with your
what's
yeah.
that?
What I was putting was Rob, like the criteria, how well they can follow directions. So send us your resume in PDF format, et cetera. That's why I put it.
Yeah, and Rob does that as well. If you put it out like that and don't get a reply, pull some of those hurdles down. Not that that's
right.
I mean, that's not a very big hurdle. I get it. But you just don't know what somebody's stumbling block is going to be. So, but yeah, Tommy,
hey.
That I appreciate that, Tom. That's short and to the point. See if
hey,
you
Mike,
can, you know, get somebody on the phone. Yeah.
Hey, Mike,
shorter than my other one.
There's Hal right there.
Yeah, I've been listening. I was just going to tell you, I redid my ad, and I got some input from you on for Indeed. I also changed my ad the second time. I've run two of them. The first one, I got 150 responses. But on the second one, I decided there were too many people that they didn't put anything in there. And so I asked them for sales experience. That was one of the questions you can put in there from Indeed, how much sales experience, and you still get a bunch of them. The second bunch, I had to cut it off after 1 day because I still got another 50 in 1 day. But I found a couple of really promising ones, and I sent them to the disc test, and I haven't paid a penny, and I'll tell you how you do it. When you get on there to do one, it'll ask you to sponsor, but you don't have to. If you don't sponsor, you get less leads. But I'll tell you what, I got more leads than I can handle for these people because I don't have the time to go through all of them. So it's $15 a day if you sponsor. And you can stop it at any time. You can pause it or you can start it again. But so far,
that's still less than Craigslist. I mean, Craigslist, the ad will stay there for a couple of days, but by day two or three, it's going to be down.
It moves on.
Number of pages, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I've done a lot of advertising on Craigslist over the years, and this is so much better, I can't believe it. But so I went back, and on the second batch, I asked them a couple questions because they allow you to do that. It's not real good, but I also told them to put in a short paragraph of their background because out of that first 150, there were probably 50 or 60 that just put in their name, you know, and their contact. And, you know, and he was right about the guy, whoever was talking about seeing if they can follow instructions because some people can't. They
right.
still, you know, you tell them, put in a little paragraph about, well, I still had people who didn't do it. But most of them did.
Here's the thing that you all need to know about salespeople. They're not accountants. They're not wired to be accountants. You don't want an accountant on the team because they're going to worry about all the little details before they even get started. So that's why I was telling Tom, right, you're going to have to adjust. So Hal, I'm glad you brought this up. He got a ton of response and had to ask more questions. Tom got very little, so I'm saying to loosen it up a little bit, right? You're going to have to find that balance. But at the end of the day, this crowd that you're going after is not the dot every I, cross every T crowd. So play in their sphere a little bit when you're looking to find them, right?
Well, I've been in sales 30 years, and one of the things I've noticed, which I also hate, you know, because they offer, Indeed says, okay, you can request a resume. I hate resumes because resumes, you can do them professionally, and they're never really about the people. They're making it look good for them, but they may be, this is my own opinion, I'm an old man, but I'd rather have somebody just tell me a little bit about their background, and I can look and see. When I talk to them on the phone, and I've talked to three or four of them, okay, what have you been doing? What are you doing now? What have you been doing? And then if they have some sales background, then you can ask them a few key questions and depend on whether you want to go forward. So I've done three or four phone interviews, and I've got two people that I sent to the disc test, and they came back already. And they sent them back, and they were both high eyes. And so I think I'll find somebody this week, probably a couple of people.
Nice.
I think the Indeed thing is a great deal.
I just changed mine. Instead of a resume, a list of sales jobs you've done, they can rip that off in a heartbeat.
Yeah, like he said, though, I mean, if you've been in sales, most guys just want to cut to the chase. You know, if they know they're good, they're going to tell you, hey, I'm good. They will. And they don't want
to
go through all the... They want to go. They don't want to go through all the bull. They just want to know, hey, I'm good. This is what I've done, and then talk to me. That's what they really want. That's my opinion. Okay, could be right, wrong. So anyway, for what it's worth.
Let me tell you a funny little thing that Rob always does with salespeople. So Hal, you're absolutely right. The good ones are just going to tell you they are. They'll say one of those funny lines about I can sell snowman to, you know, people that live in the North Pole or whatever, or snow, or they'll have some funny saying, you know, sales saying. Here's what Rob always does, and this requires you to inject a little bit of tension into your conversation. But he'll see a resume, they'll have conversation, the salesperson will basically be telling them, you know, that they're a rock star, they're an A player. And Rob does this every time. He goes, if you have a dog barking, hit star 6-4 real quick, please.
Was it 6-4?
Star 6. Perfect. So here's what he says, right? He'll be having a conversation. He'll be talking to the salesperson. You know, they're telling him he's a rock star. And he'll say, you know, I'll just use Hal. He'll say, you know, Hal, I'll be honest with you. You know, you're telling me that you're a rock star, you're a closer, this, that, and the other. But, you know, from talking to you here, I don't know if I'm seeing A player. I'm seeing maybe B plus. And he'll, right, this is a, he does it on purpose. Like I said, you're going to interject some tension into the conversation, which not everybody is super comfortable with. But what will happen is if they're not, they'll fold up. And if they are, they'll fight back. They'll push back. And they'll say, I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know where you're getting B plus from. I wake up closing and go to bed closing. And they'll fight back. And they'll tell him that he's nuts. And they'll basically give him a – so he did this with Brad. Right. He and Brad were having a conversation about, you know, partnering on the real estate side. And Brad's a high D guy like Rob is. He was looking for somebody to drive the real estate thing forward. And they're having a conversation. And they sort of knew each other. Not really. But now now they're having to talk about working together. And Rob comes out and he says, honestly, Brad, I've known you for a little bit. I don't know that you're really A plus material, you know, that you can really drive this thing forward. I'm getting kind of that B plus. And then he just shuts up. And then, you know, Brad's he's a high D. He looked him in the eye and said, I don't know where you've been the last 35 minutes. Right. And he pushed back. And then, so inside Rob kind of smiles and goes, there's my guy. So again, if, you know, it's a great little line to interject when you think you have somebody on the table, to throw that out there, you know, kind of, you know, like I said, it's going to create a little, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to throw a little tension into the conversation and see how they respond. So,
yeah, because when they get
on the salespeople,
when they get in front of people, they got to be able to overcome that stuff anyway. So if they're not good, then yeah, they're gonna fold anyway.
A non-salesperson will get a seller on the phone, and at the first sign of "Nah, I'm not really looking to sell," they'll be like, "All right, thanks," and they'll go to the next lead. And a salesperson will—they'll get that first no, and that'll prompt them to ask more questions.
Yep.
You know, to dig deeper. So it's kind of, you know, that's what this this is. You know, great conversation. I love all the input here too, but you're not looking for accountants. We're going after a totally different personality type here. So, yeah, play ball a little bit by their ad. I learned about this company years ago. It's been a while now, but they all took, they were in an office, right? And everybody in the company took a personality test. And then the results were either posted outside their office door or outside their cubicle on the wall. And the rule, I thought this was brilliant. The rule in the company was, if I'm going to bring something to Hal and I'm going to communicate something about the business or whatever to Hal, then before I go into his office or his cube, I got to read what his personality type is and frame my message as best as I possibly can so that he hears it correctly based on how he's wired. And I thought that was really brilliant because we always, when we're trying to communicate something, it's always crystal clear to us. The challenge is how do we make it clear to the party on the other end? And so when you go to post your ad and have a conversation with salespeople, you know, turn on, even if you're not a high D, like I'm not, but talk to them like they are, right? They want just want to know the details. They just want you to get to the point. A lot of times they don't care why. They don't oftentimes care how. They just want to know details. And so that's not my personality. So if I'm talking to a salesperson, I have to become high D for a little bit and cater to them. And so that's where some conversations like this come in handy, so that you can frame your ad, frame your conversation to the audience that you're looking for. So that's why, how I like your ad, because it's short and to the point. And high D salespeople are short and to the point, right? Yeah. You get the shortest emails from the high D people in your life. You get the longest emails from the C's and S's that'll type things out, right? Like, for instance, I get on the phone with somebody, and I've talked to a lot of you outside of office hours here, and I always ask, how's your day going? How you doing first? Because I'm wired to ask that first, and then we can get to business. And, you know, if any of you were to jump on the phone with Rob, it's not that he doesn't care how you're doing. He just goes right to business. Here's the point of the call. Let's get to it. And it's just, we're just wired different. So it's not right or wrong, right? It's just how we all operate. So, you know, that's the other thing is we've been talking about, take a DISC test yourself if you haven't. I mean, you have to know what your strengths and weaknesses are, and then know a little bit about who you want to hire, right? When you go, so Tommy, we were talking about the leads manager person. You don't want a high D or a high I, right? Get somebody that's really good at the details, that can just drive a system, pay attention to it, you know, keep track of multiple moving parts. So, you know, get the right people on board and then get them in the right seat.
What else?
All right. Mike, this is Malik. I got my ad up today. I posted it on Craigslist. And for the sales rep position, I got 10 replies for the day, so that's pretty good. I spoke to two of them.
That is good. Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and send them the DISC test tonight and then
perfect.
Talk to the rest of the sales reps tomorrow.
Yep.
My ad is not short and to the point, but I've been getting pretty good responses.
Hey, if it's working, let it go. If it's not, change it, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's the point here.
And as far as the dead dog, I posted it in Craigslist for in the sales section.
Okay.
And I've gotten, as a matter of fact, that's something I want to ask you. Three of the people that replied to my ad, two of them are licensed. They mentioned it. And one of them, it's a former title worker. He used to work at a title company. So I don't know if that's going to be a conflict of interest in the future, or that's something I should kind of lean towards and say, okay, well, they have a real estate background.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You want the personality type over anything else. Part of it is I always go back and forth on this because my experience, I found very few real estate agents who were traditionally trained, quote unquote, that can really get what investors do. I mean, everybody comes to them and says, here's what I can afford. Find me the nicest house in the nicest neighborhood in this price point. And then we come to the table and say, where are the crappy houses? Where's the distress? Where are the beat up ones? And then we're going to go off, right? I mean, on a property that's listed, we're going to go offer half of what it's listed for. And they just, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, there's some kind of hang up in there between, here's the training they've received, and here's how investors are going to go see the world. Now, right, I realize I'm operating off a bit of a stereotype here, but it's been backed up by my experience. So first and foremost, I would say you want the personality type. If an agent, former agent, current agent can work out, it's not to say it can't happen. I'm a little bit interested about the title rep and how their DISC test comes back, because typically a title closer is that dot every I, cross every T person that can, you know, see all the moving parts, put them all together, and then get all the documents to the table and make sure everything is signed properly, everything in the file is wrapped up, everything is notarized. So my assumption is they're going to come in on the SC side of the DISC test. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But it just depends. Now, if they were in sales for the title company, could be a fit. If they're not, I tell you what, if they're not and they have title background, you could move, you could consider somebody like that for a transaction coordinator / lead manager position. That would be a no-brainer if they had title experience. I mean, they'd be super dialed on that whole process for your business. So if they don't fit sales, don't lose their contact info. They could still be valuable.
Okay, I'll definitely do that.
That's what my gut's telling me about some of the people that replied.
For the bird dog, I got one reply, but he said he didn't have a car. He has a bike. I didn't write him off right away. I said, well, send me the information, and I never got an email back from him, so I'm not going to worry about that one.
That could be a tough one unless he happens to live in or near one of the zip codes, which is possible. But, you know, obviously you're looking for somebody with a car, but, at the end of the day, you're looking for hustle. So
yeah,
it's not to say that it couldn't work, but, you know, that'd be an interesting challenge for him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, there are some of those bike couriers I've watched on YouTube. They can ride faster than we can drive through a city, so. Yeah, good stuff, though. This is the conversation, you know, prepping for the storm. This is it. Get that salesperson ready. Get that dispositions person right on their heels. Start thinking sales manager. You know, I laid out Rob's business, you know, multiple deals a week, and they got there in a couple months. And, you know, to replicate or duplicate that across a few different markets is – you know, it doesn't take 20 people, not by any stretch. But once you have a good salesperson on, they don't care if they're calling leads in four different states. They just want to talk to good leads. That's all they care about. So, to take this, to expand this across multiple markets is a very simple process. So, and then the other side of this is it's all personnel. We were hitting this the last couple office hours, but every business is a people business. There's going to be turnover. There's going to be some frustration. Some people go MIA. That's part of it. So, you know, Tommy said she's got 5 bird dogs lined up and 2 skip tracers. Perfect. You know.
Hey, sorry. I accidentally hung up as I was trying to mute earlier, and you were called me out. Did I miss anything? I can go back and listen if I need to.
Yeah, Tommy, I said the most important thing I've said all year, and you just missed it.
Thanks.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to let my sarcasm come through on this call too, but yeah, I'll be honest. I don't remember what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
You just have to
go back and listen.
Go back through. Yeah. We're at, I don't know, the hour and 10 minute mark or something like that. So.
Now, I have a pretty sweet deal for my, skip tracer, but it's getting a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
I signed up for Intellis and I have I looked on Upwork, and this guy contacted me, and we were negotiating. So pretty much we came to the conclusion, I'll give him my list. He'll do it for free if I give him access to my Intellis, and he agreed to it. But
okay.
It takes him a little bit longer to give me my list back.
Yeah, that's because he's using your login for other people. So
Yeah, I mean, I know that. So, I mean, I say, okay,
yeah.
I know you're going to go ahead and make your money, but you have to make me priority. I can't be waiting.
You
got to
prioritize. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That either don't let that go on very long. Your business needs what your business needs. I'll tell you, Rob does that. He has an Intellis account. He gives his VA login access to it. I think it's a notch easier to hire a VA that knows how to skip trace. So we have students who do both. I usually talk about, you know, hire somebody with pay a little more, but get somebody with experience that has a tool, and you don't have to train them. But both ways work. Both work. So.
Yeah, I think once I get this next list back, I'm going to just disconnect that relationship and just give the work to my VA.
Yeah, change up that password, wait for an email, and say, hey, man,
yeah.
I was waiting too long on my lead, so you can either fix it. And I'll give you the new password, or I gotta find another solution.
Yeah, I already changed the password earlier today, so I'm just waiting on the email.
I wouldn't think it would take long to come in, so nice. Yeah, at the end of the day, I know it's just business. Your business needs what it needs, and it's not that we're heartless, but people can either produce what it needs or they don't, and that's what makes the decision. So
yeah,
that's just kind of how business works, and that's easier for some people to do than others, you know, to make personnel changes. I've never heard anybody say it's easier to let somebody go or let that they enjoy those conversations or whatever the case. It's just part of it. You know, hire slow, fire fast, you know, try and be as thorough as you can up front. So you don't have a ton of rollover if possible, but it's a reality.
Do it before you run out of money.
Yeah. Life happens. You know,
Hal, I just want to thank you for earlier when you were explaining the whole process, because I'm not there yet. I'm just getting my first salesperson, I hope, but of what we need. I know we've heard it before on these calls, but maybe it just takes longer for me to sink in. But for you to say it again tonight, you know, starting out with salesman, then maybe making him into a sales manager and
yep.
You know, expand as you go. I appreciate that. I wanted you to know that.
Yeah. Thanks for the feedback. So yeah, that's the thing. If you are really smart on that first hire for the sales position, cause you can even tell them that, hey, here's where I see this role going. And it's even, you know, people appreciate when you're just honest and maybe a little vulnerable. And like, I can come to that conversation and say, listen, I know this business inside and out. I'm not wired to do sales. I need a great salesperson, somebody that's wired like you, to come in and run sales in this thing. So I want you to get in. Here's how I see this working, right? I want you to get in. Let's learn about what we do. Jump on the phone. Figure this out. And then I'm going to need you, as the business grows, to bring in 2, 3, 4 more salespeople. And you probably know them already, or you have people in mind. I just need somebody that can run sales. Let me handle all the other pieces. I know how to bring you great leads. Can you handle that? Can you come figure this out over the next 30 to 60 days and then help me ramp this thing up? And to just be open like that, be honest like that, and just look for that person, because Chris now for Rob and Brad has 3 setters. Rob and Brad didn't hire the setters or find them. Chris did. So that's how, right? That's how that piece works. So if you get that first sales piece right, it can just be a total game changer for where your businesses go.
Wow.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
What's up?
Johnny, be good.
I got my first executed contract in NOLA.
I love it. So. That a boy. How long from day one in New Orleans to executed paperwork? When did you launch it?
When did I launch NOLA?
Yeah.
3 or 4
weeks?
Yeah, it was the...
Time's up.
First week.
I'm just kidding.
First week in August. The end of July, first week in August.
That steel trap brain, everything holds in there. You just can't get it out, right?
Yeah. Well, I was looking. I was looking on my spreadsheet.
That's cool. So, yeah, second market for John opens it to paperwork in first week of August, so 4 weeks. Cool.
You would not believe this house either.
Tell us about the deal.
It is a... You know, my VA said, hey, this guy's calling. He may not list. He's thought about listing it, but he wants to hear you first, blah, blah, blah. And it is, she kind of set it up for me, but the guy lives in Baton Rouge. So,
okay.
And he hadn't done anything with it since Katrina. And it's a 2-bedroom, 1 bath.
Okay.
And it's in a pretty hot area.
Okay.
And it looks like it has a football field growing on top of it. It is nothing but jungle, man, all on the roof. But anyway, to make a long story short.
Yep.
Yeah. The ARV of any house, the ARV is like 280.
For a 2-1?
Yeah.
Holy cow, you sure it's not in Denver?
No, I'm sure. It's just a hot area.
Yeah, I guess. What do you have a contract for?
45.
And what does it need in work?
My partner there says 100, 120, but I said, man, that's real high because I ran
not
it.
For two, not for a 2-1. You could build it for that for probably less.
Well,
that doesn't sound
yeah,
right.
I think he's got to be. Well, I ran it. I ran a rehab estimate in Freedom Soft at Beater, and it needs luxury. And,
yeah.
Adding a bed and a bath to make it a 3-2, yeah. And it was like under 75.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if it's totally wrecked by Katrina, I was thinking 70 to 80.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway.
So tell me you're going to tie this up with private money. Or are you going to wholesale it and just turn a big, big wholesale check? I'm good either way.
I hope it's big, but the offers coming in aren't that great. So.
What are you trying to sell it for? Or what do you have it for sale for?
72.5.
Okay. And what's the feedback so far?
Well, there's one cash buyer that offered 50.
Right.
But there's
hey,
a couple
so
of guys. Nope.
You got to go into ListSource and pull that zip and see what the data in that area says or get it from the MLS.
It's in FreedomSoft, man.
What's that?
The last owner list. Yeah. Well, even absentee owners.
What are they paying for it down there for a 2-1?
Well, FreedomSoft doesn't have the prices here in New Orleans.
The cash buyers will. You'll have to sort through them and find that. I can help you do that tomorrow. That's what I'm saying though. That ListSource list. If you get every sale there in the last 6 months, you'll see exactly what the neighborhood's paying. That's sweet, though. Really, 280? I know you know what you're looking at, but that's nuts for a 2-1.
Yeah, and it's only like it's not even 900 square feet. So I mean,
yeah, the chances of adding another bed and a bath if you're under. About 11 or 12 are pretty slim. But, man, that's crazy. If that's money, 11 or 1,200 square feet, you'll be tight at 9 to get a 3-2.
Oh, no, you're going to have to add on to the house, yeah. See,
gotcha,
the
do
lot,
an addition?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. So so this thing's 900 square feet. What are the comps at 280? How big are they?
I don't know.
Are you talking double the size or?
No, there's a one down the road. It was a double that sold for a. I don't know where it's at right now, but.
All right, I'm asking you a bunch of questions.
Yeah, and I don't
yeah,
have
you
any
got.
Answers.
You want to know what the 2-1s in that area are moving for? But yeah, that's killer. Good stuff. When did you get the paperwork back on it? Today?
Man, the guy he was supposed to have it back to me was it Friday? I think I got it late Saturday.
Okay.
Or was it yesterday? Man, I don't know anything, do I?
Yeah,
it was Saturday.
Yeah.
Late Saturday. So but yeah, man, I need to be calling these buyers. That's for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not relying on his all the time, too, so.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we had another offer at 65. The guy wants to go look at it Thursday afternoon, but, man, I need this thing to close. But the dude owes, he has a small business loan from the SBA that he's got a lien on. He owes code enforcement liens and taxes, so he's behind $10,000 on that, so. he's pushing to get it closed. So, you know, I'm trying not to take just anything to,
right.
to do it, you know.
Right.
But, anyway, need a bill.
That's good stuff.
So,
good
yeah,
stuff,
man. I'll send you a picture of this house, man.
Burn.
You won't believe it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's crazy.
Crack me up. When you said the roof looks like a football field, I was thinking maybe some of you have been to Door County, Wisconsin. We used to, I'm from the Midwest. We used to go there when I was a kid. We'd go up camping with our family, and there was this restaurant we'd eat at, and they had a grass roof and about four goats up there that just mowed it for them. I've never seen anything like that since. Anyway,
I'm gonna send you a photo.
I was thanking you, John, for a flashback to my childhood. I appreciate that.
All right. But anyway, yeah, man, I need this deal real bad, so it's got to hold me on here. So.
Well, that's the thing. If you can turn it for 60, maybe you can get more than, or for 65, and turn 20, maybe you can get more out of it. But God, for a little 2-1, I'd be curious to see what the 2-1 comps are. What is it rent for? Real quick.
About 1,000, I think. 1,100, yeah.
Yeah, you got to know that number. But I know you already know that. So 700, let's see here. So if you sold it to me for 65 grand and it needed another 65, right, 130, you think it's a little fix and flip?
Yeah, that's a fix and flip, man.
Yeah, that's a 15-year return of cash on that number. That doesn't work so good. As a rental.
Yeah, I ran a fix and flip in Freedom Soft on it, and
yeah,
I put a hundred grand on the rehab anyway.
Yeah, you ought to be able to do an addition on that for $100,000.
Well, here you go. It's the numbers
Those
on it. It's $100,000 and financing at 12% plus 2 points.
Yep.
Purchasing at 72.5. Rehab 100. It's a 60, almost a $70,000 net profit, 38% cash on cash.
Yeah, that'll have a killer numbers. You can just see it in your head, buying it at 170, you know, being all in at 175, basically, and then a 280, a 280 ARV. So cool, man. Sucker sold to one to a buyer that you find. You don't have to split up that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, buddy.
That'll be well worth the hustle.
Oh, yeah, and besides screwing up my Freedom Soft again.
Yeah, attaboy.
I don't want to apply anything anymore. But
okay.
I went through my laptop with the Geek Squad. I got it back. They couldn't fix it because it was the fan, and I took it to a local shop. And the fan going out has fried a motherboard on it. So
that doesn't sound good.
No laptop. So, but my stepdaughter helped me buy a new one. So,
all right.
I went through all that this weekend. So,
turn it on.
Anyway,
yeah, John.
All right, buddy. It's back on.
You got to find the buyer for this. Don't hang up. Well, you can hang up the phone to call somebody else, but. Get this thing moved because that's a 50% increase in pay if you do this all yourself.
Yeah.
Or 100%, right? I did that math wrong because you're going to double if you have to split it. So make it happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Name all buyers. Either way. All right, brother.
Good stuff. Anything else?
I'm out.
All right. Okay.
Right.
Great discussion as always. Bring any questions into the coaching center. We'll do office hours, obviously, on Thursday this week. And then back to Monday, Thursday next week, everybody, all right?
Yep.
So, yeah, good stuff. Have a great afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. We'll chat soon.
All right. See you, Mike.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Yep, see ya. You want to come
What happened? Did they ever find out that one girl was that guy? I'm not wrong. She did? Oh, that's right. But that girl didn't know. Oh, she figured it out. No.
There is more power.
Ha ha.